Jason Hawk. He's Richard Smith. She's Allison Downing. This is Remote Patrol. And I know that, Allison, you hate to hear this, but Remote Patrol is now 100% dedicated to covering the X-Files, the whole X-Files, nothing but the X-Files, until death do us part.
I'm up with this. I think it's awesome.
I'm so excited about the X-Files. I shotgunned a whole bunch more episodes this week.
We've watched so many. Allison hasn't spoken yet. There she is. I didn't give a chance. They were
She's reticent to jump into the X-Files. She keeps on telling me she's not in love with it.
She loves the X-Files. How do you not love the X-Files? It's one of the best TV shows ever made.
Do you know what? I think it's Fox Mulder's face.
You just don't like his face.
Well, I'm on board with him now because we've come to a realm that is important and probably ignited the whole sort of feeling amongst the people who are watching the show, and that is the government's doing bad stuff.
The government is doing bad stuff.
So he has a government's doing bad stuff face and a worried face, and that's it.
Even David Duchovny himself has admitted that perhaps the early Fox Mulder days were not his best work.
I'm blaming him.
Well, yeah,
I'm also blaming myself, my tiredness and all that kind of, and unwillingness to engage in something quite as...
I think iPad games have to be a factor here as well.
Well, yeah, and Civ 5, which you bought me, and it's wonderful. You. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Your fault.
I know, entirely my fault. I gave you the game and the computer you're playing it on. Stupid man.
But the other thing that I'd done, and because we're doing this show like we are, we're picking shows, and this got an arc, this thing.
Yeah, we've missed some arc.
And I feel like I'm just sat there going, who's that guy? What's his motivation? Why is he doing that? Who's that there? Why is he trying to kill so-and-so? And I just feel like that is my entire experience of this show.
I mean, you're somewhat along for the ride with the rest of the fans who are viewing this in chronological order, because The X-Files was one of those shows that didn't spell everything out on first viewing. You had to wait for later episodes to catch up to figure out who the cigarette-smoking man was, or who Alex Krycek really was, or who Deep Throat was. But yeah, there is a possibility that you've missed some of the mythology. Did you happen to watch the first episode of season 2?
Did you just happen to say Deep Throat?
You can say Deep Throat. It's a thing.
Deep Throat.
It's a thing, yeah.
What is it? Other than the obvious.
He's not an informant.
Yeah.
And he's called Deep Throat.
No, that's the real thing. There was a guy called
Deep Throat. Deep Throat was the informant in Watergate.
Yeah.
I'd really reconsider his name, you know.
Just because it's like a word for big blowjobs.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't think I'd like to have that nickname.
But that's the name that Woodward and Bernstein ascribed to their informant during the Watergate scandal back in the Nixon presidency. Oh, you know, yes. That ultimately resulted in Nixon being impeached.
We need to watch All the President's Men.
Oh, it's so good.
I've seen it.
I haven't seen it. I need to watch it then.
It's like the X-Files with no aliens.
Yeah.
I'll probably get on then.
And it's real. And ultimately, they were all busted by Forrest Gump, who saw the lights on from across the way.
That's right.
That's how it all ended. That's true. That's a true story. So, go on.
Well, I was just kind of wanting to attack this thing with Allison. It's really bothering me. It's getting under my skin that she's not just gushing and jumping up and down and trying to make out with David Duchovny through the television. This is very upsetting
to
me.
And you don't even live with it. I have to like lose arguments to it and all kinds of things.
I know. She's a very
frustrating person to
tolerate.
Yeah,
you have to lose arguments to her. I like that, yeah.
Let me spin the psychoanalysis this way then. Do you like The Twilight Zone?
You did enjoy The Twilight Zone.
Do you enjoy The Twilight Zone?
Yeah. What is it about The Twilight Zone that you love that doesn't carry over to The X-Files? Because here's my spin on the whole thing. I think The X-Files is just an excuse to have Twilight Zone episodes. These disconnected stories that could be about the werewolves or the Jersey Devil or the aliens that come down and abduct humans or whatever it happens to be this week. But they are all tied together by two recurring characters. If The Twilight Zone had a Mulder and a Scully to kind of tie, you know, what's on the wing together with the last man on Earth whose glasses break, it would be The X-Files.
Hmm.
Or would it specifically be that, you know, one thing the Twilight Zone doesn't have that the X-Files does have is David Duchovny?
Yeah.
Or am I just giving you an easy out with that?
No, because I do think it is mainly about David Duchovny. I do enjoy watching Gillian Anderson because in my mind, when I think about her, she's really quite dull and she talks like this and she's sceptical and... but doesn't really, you know, emote in her voice and everything. And then she gets a gun in her hands. And then she's a bit kick-ass. And then she does this. So yeah. I quite like her because she's got a face and she uses all of it. And she can smile and she can be sad and analytical and upset for her family and all this kind of stuff. And juggling ideas of theism and science and all this kind of stuff. I get that. And then there's David Duchovny, who's just about aliens and just about paranoia and government hiding stuff.
And the government is hiding stuff. Well, it's not paranoia, you're right.
All I'm getting from him is dull and worried. Dull and worried.
Isn't it weird that a lot of the things that Mulder was predicting as far as the government surveillance on people, all that kind of stuff, is now actually revealed to be true?
Well, I think it was always going there. You know, all the George Orwell stuff was written a long, long time before... So I kind of think we always knew that surveillance on the individual in society would increase.
We didn't know how.
We didn't know quite. And I still think we're quite kind of surprised when some, you know, a headline appears. Oh, do you know that so-and-so knows this about you? Do they really?
Yeah, I've never been surprised by any of it. I've just always worked on the basis of there's really nothing that interesting to know about me. And I don't think anyone's ultimately trying to control the general population through information gathering.
They like your money. That's what data mining is mainly used for, is parting you from your money.
The thing that is never covered on the whole New World Order and that sort of thing is really who wants that level of control. You know, who wants to control all and decide what all the population do? What a fucking headache.
Who can listen to
it's
it
much
all?
Better if who the population get on with themselves, quite frankly, and you just
heavy
make money
is the
off
head
them.
That wears the crown and such.
Exactly. Mm. Who wants to run the fucking world? What? No sane person wants that. And so, there you go. I think I've covered myself in that last sentence. And it's not even the best way to make money if you want to just get really rich. There's plenty of really, really rich people who are not like the Illuminati and all that bollocks. It's all just such rubbish. I'm more inclined to believe that there's a secret alien disease that the government are trying to protect us from, etc. Like in the X-Files.
Like in the X-Files.
Do you think that part of the reason that you and I love the X-Files so much, Rich, is because it does strike so close to home that we know that there is undoubtedly corruption that comes with great amounts of power, but this is kind of a way to anthologize and fictionalize that so that we can be more comfortable with it, and a weird type of political uncanny valley type thing?
Possibly. I mean, it kind of takes it to a comic booky kind of extreme area that I don't believe that there's any sort of government cover up with regards to aliens or anything like that.
But there certainly has been a government cover up with the NSA gathering information on what you're looking at online or listening in on phone calls, all that kind of stuff. I kind of think that, at least in retrospect now, going back and watching the X-Files kind of makes that a little bit more cartoonish, easier to deal with.
Maybe so. Maybe you're right. Yeah, we're kind of desensitized to the idea. Or like me kind of just felt that it was always going on.
We also have the Stasi as well. You know, a nice little lesson from history. So it's like, oh, so you can see my browser history. Still, you're not the Stasi, are you? You're not the Stasi. You're not the aliens. You're not a parasite that's come from...
I don't know what anyone hopes to get from my browsing history. That's just the thing.
It's about what products you kind of once glanced at.
You know, it's...
whether you can be persuaded to buy it.
The only thing you can get out of my browser history is a sense of pity and, you know...
I kind of disagree with you there, and not to skew too entirely political, but I don't like the idea of devaluing our privacy by saying that it's not worth much.
Oh, no, well, no. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's not something I'm super paranoid about.
Because we've been desensitized.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the X-Files was about all along.
Bum, bum, bum.
I've just been conditioned for, since healthy. The early 90s to believe that, of course, we're being watched and everything.
Wait,
so
wait. So the X-Files is part of the conspiracy?
That could be it. Dun, dun,
dun. The X-Files was purposefully made so that it would desensitize you to those ideas and make you think that they're all fiction. Chris Carter is the Illuminati.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Before we go too far off the deep end, this week we watched two episodes from season two. There really are ones that are cornerstones of the X-Files faith, so to speak. It's the first two-parter in the series. They're both very, very highly rated. 8.8 on IMDb is what I found when I looked it up. It's episodes 5 and 6 of season two.
Mm-hmm. It is. Is that a helicopter I can hear outside? No? Okay.
Is it black? Is it circling?
I don't know. It's nighttime.
So you can't even tell.
I can't even tell.
I think it is, you know.
Okay. No, we were wrong. The X-Files is not part of a bigger conspiracy. That was, of course,
I didn't hear anyone say that.
No one suggested such a thing.
It'll just be a local car thief like usual.
Probably.
Here's a weird conspiracy, though. I was looking through some notes online. I think you guys got the X-Files a year after we did.
That's probably true.
It was the case until really quite recently that you guys got things on time and we had to wait a year for those deals to happen. So
you think it was all about overseas licensing?
I think so. I think that's probably what it came down to. We just didn't get things fast enough. And remember when we only had 4 channels, which is really not that long ago, there wasn't a great deal of licensing to throw around. We were making our own programming and only importing a certain percentage of our shows anyway. So when
I couldn't find a UK release date for the first episode for Dwayne Barry, but for the second part of the two-parter for Ascension, I saw it was mid-August of 1994 that it came out here in the United States. It was, I think, a full year later. It was October, I think it was late October in 1995 that you guys finally got it.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
We're just used to getting things ages after. Less so now, but it used to just be crazy. But the thing was, that was for
everything. You know, you brought a movie out, we'd have it months later. That kind of thing.
Every sort of blockbuster, because you've got your summer blockbuster, your Christmas blockbuster, things would sort of shift around. So you'd have a summer blockbuster that's a Christmas film here and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think also scheduling problems, just when to put all the stuff on.
Yeah. Because X-Files was on BBC Two, right?
I think it was a BBC Two show.
BBC Two, a 9 p.m. BBC Two, maybe Thursday night.
I was going to say Thursday.
Feels right, doesn't
it? That's the feeling I've got.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what the demographics are as far as when your higher viewership is in the UK compared to the US. Because here it started on Friday nights. Then in about, I think it was like season 3 maybe, it switched over to Sunday nights where it was immensely popular.
Yeah,
and that's where it was getting
forever.
Isn't
10 million viewers an episode, something ridiculous.
Your Friday night's the traditional dead zone on television, isn't it? That's where you put shows to die. That's how they got rid of Star Trek. They moved season 3 to 10 p.m. on Fridays. And no one watches it because everyone in America goes out on Friday night.
Nothing survives on Friday night.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
But you have big TV on Saturday night.
And that's our going out
and
night.
And that's our going out night. So, Friday night here is like huge primetime stuff. I mean,
The talk shows are on Friday nights.
That's big night. Saturday night, crap telly.
That's really interesting. So our Thursday is your Friday and our Friday is your Saturday. We're time shifted. It's like it's some bizarre time zone thing.
Yeah. Saturday
it's
night,
weird that,
you'll generally get a lot of...
I never did think we were in different time zones.
Yeah, you get sort of family-based variety stuff on BBC One. ITV try and grab the just-going-out crowd, don't they?
On Saturday nights?
Yeah.
Well, and then you've got the rest of it's dominated by National Lottery stuff.
And,
with a game show either side and that kind of thing.
It's really bad. Really bad Saturday night, but Friday night's huge.
Even all that in the past 5 years has really sort of died down and evened out. I mean, yes, Friday in America is still a dead zone, but very few people that I know actually watch anything at all when it's actually airing.
Exactly.
That's the thing these days.
The time, and to some extent, even the channel that a show is on, has just become an irrelevancy now. Mm-hmm. And just because a show does well or doesn't do well on television doesn't mean it's not going to do astoundingly well when it shows up on Netflix or iTunes or something like that. Mm. We're all into binge watching stuff now.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people have I talked about Better Call Saul to who said, is it all on there? And you know, they go, oh, I'm going to wait till it's all on and then I'll watch it all in one go. So you might be tempted to think if you're making that and watching the viewer stats, no one's watching it. But maybe they're just all waiting for the last one to be out so they can just sit and watch all 13.
I've been kind of obsessed with these Nielsen rating numbers lately.
Mm.
And it's just dire. I mean, how few people watch things, but it's also bad which shows get the shares.
Mm.
Like, guess right now, I mean, I'm not even sure really how familiar you are with network television broadcasts in the United States, like what even is on the lineup. But would you care to cast a wager to find out what the highest rated show on television is this week?
Well, I guess sort of reality show.
I think it will be something like The Voice.
It is The Voice with a 3.4 share. You're talking of... it's 4.2 million viewers each night.
And which twats have you got sat in chairs?
Oh, I have...
Do you even know?
Okay, so Dude What's in Maroon 5.
Dude What's in Maroon 5, Adam Thingamy Bob, yes.
Indeed, Levine.
Levine, yeah, that's right.
You've got Country Singer Guy.
No.
You know what? I'm going to bring this up.
Because I sound like a freaking
moron.
There's only one of those. His name's Garth Brooks.
I'm going to say, like, all you country singers, not one of them made it over here.
None of you made it over here. We don't listen to country. Ding, ding, ding.
You don't really have a country culture.
No.
No. Truckers sometimes listen to it. I find drivers sometimes listen to a bit of country. I've known a couple of drivers who liked bluegrass. But no, it's not terribly popular.
Here we go. Okay. Currently on the show, Adam Levine, the country singer dude is Blake Shelton, and then Christina Aguilera.
Oh, I know her.
Okay, we know her, and she was funny on Jimmy Fallon a couple of weeks ago, so it's all good.
We don't get him, but we just get YouTube.
Top-rated TV show. Can't believe that.
Yeah, it's kind of the same over here.
It's very big here.
But if you compare it, like Wikipedia has the numbers... Where the hell are those numbers? Reception. Here we go. Dwayne Barry. When it aired in 1994 in the U.S., this episode earned a Nielsen rating of 8.9 with a 16 share. That means that, like, basically four times the number of viewers that are watching the top-rated show now were watching this episode of The X-Files.
Really?
And it still was not that. It was, like, way, way, way down in the ratings. This was not the biggest show on television in its second season.
So it just really comes down to how many TV shows are available to watch at any given time.
It's dilution of the audience.
That's all it is.
We've got more channels with more shows on. We've got more shows in general, and we've got more places to watch those shows. You know,
it's called market fragmentation.
Yeah.
A term I know too well because of my own job.
Mm.
Exactly. We've got Netflix. We've got the internet. There's so many ways you can watch a TV show.
You don't even have to watch TV at all.
That's just the way it goes.
I guess it begs the question, though, can there ever be another X-Files?
Yeah, there are still popular shows. I mean,
something that gains the zeitgeist of the time and is just taken off. Something that you can, you know, one out of four people that you run into on the street will know exactly what you're talking about and say, yeah, I watched that too.
That's a big question for the new media age. What really is there that unites us all as a people? What is that water cooler moment on television that we all have in common because we all saw it? And that is kind of going away.
Mm.
It's moving on to online areas. So instead of talking to people at work about a TV show, you're going to join a Facebook group or a forum. Or
what you do, you still talk to your colleagues about TV, but you talk about which shows you're watching right now.
Mm.
And that's what people do. So they focus on one show and they watch it all.
And more often than not, you have to explain to them what it is.
Yeah. If they haven't seen it.
You haven't seen Archer?
Oh, you haven't seen it? Oh, you've got to watch them all. And this is how it happens, you know. Just this week, somebody's like, I'm going to do Dexter next or Prison Break or, you know, it's always the next project is the next show. It's not a particular time or you've got to see this on Friday night at 9 o'clock on whatever channel. You know, there's none of that.
I've got to assume that Duane Barry and Ascension were instrumental in keeping the X-Files on the air, because even though those numbers were huge by today's standard, I mean, they weren't that great by 1994 standards in the United States. So these are huge episodes. I mean, these are big in the X-Files chronology. They establish a lot. They confirm a lot. They set up a lot. And I mean, it's just such a good two-parter.
It really is. This really gets us kicked off with some of the weirdest stuff that happens. Am I right in thinking Duane Barry does come back in later episodes?
I don't recall that.
I think he comes back. Oh, right. Hang on. You stopped watching, didn't you, though?
Yeah, like I checked out after Mulder checked out. Right. So maybe he comes back with the T-2000?
Yeah, right at the end. Like, last few episodes, kind of right at the end. I believe that's correct. I think.
You know what? Kudos to him, because this guy is a legend. What a good actor.
He's a great actor. Steve Railsback's very good. Very good.
Did you look through his IMDb listings?
I'm looking at it now.
He's the guy who's been in everything, isn't he?
He has been on so much stuff. I mean, he works a couple times a year. It's not like he's getting every job that comes across his desk. But, I mean, back in the 80s, he was in Life Force. He was in that 90s movie Disturbing Behavior with Katie Holmes. I guess he had a small part in The Devil's Rejects, it looks like. It says here that he was uncredited. But then if you look through, I mean, look at all those TV spots as you scroll down the list.
Yeah.
Good shows that he's been on. Not crappy shows. I mean, like big network shows.
And barbed wire.
And barbed wire, with Pamela Anderson.
It was in The Line of Fire. That's an awesome movie. Yeah.
He managed to pull off something that I think is really impressive. I mean, he was this disturbing psycho killer. You see him murder a person. At least in Ascension. In Duane Barry, the first one, you see him shoot a guy in the chest. But even though he's this psychopath, you still get the sense that he's almost mentally handicapped.
Well, he's clearly going through some stuff as well. I mean, this is the thing with him. We know that you never know with the X-Files. Is what they're showing you really happening? The episode starts with us seeing Duane Barry seeing aliens, and you're never quite sure, because they're very good with this. Are we seeing that he's seeing aliens, or are we seeing what is happening
in his mind? Yeah.
Now here's the big weak point of this entire story. You know for a fact that he is not hallucinating, because you see the dog go outside, and if it were an unreliable narrator, you would only see things that Dave Barry, not the Miami Herald columnist of days past, Duane Barry, he couldn't have possibly seen what was happening from outside. It gives you a reliable narration standpoint. The dog sitting out on the pavement watching the UFO hovering over the house.
Yeah. Course,
that cements it, baby. That says, yep, it's real.
And but, so you kind
of... they don't know that. So that to their eyes, he could be a schizophrenic. Well,
my point is, as an audience viewer, you forgive him a lot because you understand what he's going through.
Yeah. But for their point of view, he might be experiencing schizophrenia. These might be all delusions. And he's also, it is revealed, he's got a brain injury from being shot. So
the old Phineas Gage case that they bring up. I remember learning about that in Psychology 101 in college. And that was after this show aired. I don't know why I never put them together, that this is what they were talking about.
Yeah. But that kind of acquired brain injury can sometimes change behavior and make previously placid people quite violent and delusional. But
you mean to tell me that if something happens to your brain, it can change the way you think?
Yeah, it can really change all your cognition, all your perception, all your behavior. It's very strange. I've worked with one guy who had really quite advanced brain injury. He had a tumor on his frontal lobe, and he'd had like surgery, and then the piece of bone was bolted back down, but the bolts had got infected. So he had to just basically have that piece of skull removed. So it was just a soft cave at the front of his head. Now, his behaviour was just rich, so rude and lewd. You know, any time he could flip a situation into being really sexual, he would. It wouldn't matter what scenario you were in. He'd try and make everything sexual. But and his family were just so embarrassed by that kind of behaviour. But fortunately, he didn't have the violent outcome that old Phineas Gage had. But again, this character, Dwayne, he might also have some stuff going on, and the aliens are really not helping his mental state, because I don't think
it was a mixed bag of tics, wasn't it? Because I mean, my wife has a special education degree, and by proxy, I've kind of been around a lot of the information that goes along with that. But there were signs that did not match up with like post-traumatic stress disorder or other things that the aliens could be causing. Dwayne Barry refers to himself in the third person a lot.
Yeah.
Which is not something you would typically identify with that. He has a lot of manic behavior, which I guess, yeah, that fits in. Mm-hmm. But he has weird other tics too. Like, you notice he cocks his head in a strange way a lot?
He does.
He opens his eyes up really wide. It's the kind of stuff that you see if you've ever spent any time with someone who has like Down syndrome or that sort of thing.
Yeah. But it's also like they're trying to listen more or see more, you know, trying to expand their senses.
To pierce the veil of reality, as another British romantic literature professor would have said.
You know, is he cocking his head to one side so he can listen more carefully? Are his eyes widening so that he could just like perceive more? Or is he just genuinely astounded by what's going on both inside his mind and, you know, with aliens and everything?
So as the Scully of the group, Allison, as the one who's not willing to buy into the X-Files as easily as Rich and I will, do you feel yourself wanting to be on Dwayne Barry's side? Do you feel yourself wanting to believe?
I don't know. I think I do feel empathy for his torture, and I want it to stop for him. I do believe that the aliens exist for him.
Whether they're objectively real or not, they exist for him.
Right, in the show, aliens are real, Allison. In the show, the aliens are real.
The aliens are real.
In the show, the aliens are real.
Yeah.
That's my statement. I'm not going to be drawn any other way. The aliens in the program are real. He's been tortured by them. I also think he's got mental illness and a little bit of acquired brain injury, and it's horrible for him. And I feel really, really bad that he's being tortured in such a way that he starts to endanger other people. So, you know, the worker in me is thinking like how to engage Dwayne properly. And some of engaging Dwayne properly is fucking believing him. And letting him show you that he's right. And there's not too much of that goes on. So I feel further bad for him.
Were either of you raised in a Christian home?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that you still wrestle a little bit with the old demon fear?
Not at all.
I have a shameful admission. I've been an atheist for quite some number of years now, but after watching this episode of The X-Files a couple times in the past couple of weeks, I've been wrestling with a little bit of the demon fear at night. You know, waking up half asleep, being like, I should scan the room for aliens. What's going on? Because the opening scene, Dwayne Barry's fear is really palpable, but it's also some pretty good visuals that they're pulling off. I like the way that they portray the aliens.
Yeah, I quite like that. The frosted glass lip from the back, silhouetted kind of the familiar grey man shape that we all expect an alien to look like is...
Well, we do thanks to the X-Files anyway.
Well, we kind of knew it was that sort of shape anyway, you know, with the head and the tilted eyes and...
Because of the X-Files.
It's really changed the last 50 years, though.
It has really, really changed, but I didn't think that it was a massive change from some of the cartoon pictures that were drawn in the 40s and 50s.
Well, they used to be little green men, though.
Yeah, I can't think of any source outside of the X-Files from before the X-Files where you'd see the grey people on television.
It was all the Roswell stuff, I guess. No. I remember seeing that really quite young.
We've kind of imposed back upon that. I think
that the alien autopsy stuff is where the grey alien got its origin, though.
That had to be post X-Files, though, wasn't it? Because I think that would have come along because the X-Files was so prominent in popular culture at the time. Now I'm searching for alien autopsy film.
Yeah, we're all Googling it, I think. Yeah. Alien autopsy, 1947 Roswell. The 17-minute black and white film of poor quality surfaced in the 1990s.
See, I remember that coming along way after the X-Files came along.
Santilli, who's apparently the producer, maybe, admitted the film was not authentic, but rather a staged reconstruction of footage he claimed to have viewed in 1992. So at the very, very best, we could say that it was concurrent with the X-Files.
Yeah, and it's saying that Fox broadcast the footage in 1995.
When the X-Files came out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe almost like a cross-promotional stunt.
Yeah.
Well, a la kind of Blair Witch Project.
Almost. But even then, they hadn't invented all the Blair Witch Project stuff yet.
Or maybe just this dude was really, really into it. I don't know.
I mean, but 1995, so the X-Files started in 93.
So, and this would have been released in late 1994, so I doubt that there would have been any time for the alien autopsy thing to make the rounds, at least in any kind of predominant kind of media, before this was being made.
Yeah, it all came from this. This show was just the propagation of this stuff back into popular culture. Mm. I think it seemed to go away a bit. It's, you know, post Close Encounters, that sort of thing. And we had sort of the fantastical science fiction, your Star Warses and your Star Treks, that sort of thing. But this creepier side of it came back because of the X-Files.
Yeah.
And everything that's followed it since has been because of the X-Files. I think you can trace it all back to this show.
Cool. That's pretty good lineage then, isn't it? That's pretty good legacy to say we kind of drew.
Yeah, it's a very
what you think an alien
thing.
Looks like right now.
Well,
it was so well done, because what the mistake that they would have made today if they were making it is to show the aliens in perfect lighting in high def so that you could see them. Mm. And what this episode of the X-Files does is to show them, like you were saying, backlit, so automatically it's shadowy, through some sort of construction material, like a transparent kind of plastic, and kind of off to the side and ensconced in shadow. You don't get a really great look at the aliens here. You just kind of get a basic body shape. Mm. You see how they move, which I think is maybe more important than what they look like.
I think it makes it even more frightening.
I think, you know, in the second episode of these two, when Dana's in the repository where all the files are in the mountainside, and this thing's running in the darkness, and you kind of get little glimpses as they flash through the light.
That was the paperclip episode.
That was terrifying.
Yeah. It is a good one, that.
That was kind of, whoa, those things have got, like, mechanisms I can see, you know?
I think I'm getting paperclip and, what's the other one, Piper Maru? I think I'm getting those confused. They're both big mythology episodes, though, right?
I don't know which one Piper Maru is.
Maru's the one with the submarine and the black oil.
Ah, right, yeah, that's going to be a big one. Anything with the black oil in is a big story arc episode, I think.
We kind of start to see the very first hints of that here, because at the very opening of Dwayne Barry, you get to meet Krycek again. I think this is like the second or third episode that he's been in. And it really took me off guard when he walked into the pool to fetch Mulder for the FBI.
Yeah.
Hey, come with me. Because I was like, wait, he's a bad guy. When was he a good guy? I did not remember that he had been an FBI agent.
Yeah, it's that. I think the ascension is where you really get your confirmation that he's a bad guy.
Well,
when he kills the cable car operator.
See, I didn't know he was a bad guy. So that, to me, was like, what the hell is he doing?
And he's
blew your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which is, I guess, a good thing, because I got that feeling from it, having seen it now properly for the first time.
But you never trust anyone again after that. That's what you're missing out on.
No, because this is where I'm at now. Everyone, I don't know who to trust.
Every new person that they meet at the FBI, like, well, you obviously haven't heard about our Krycek experience, so we won't be giving you the time of day. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's why I think when Robert Patrick comes in, you're like, you're waiting for the time when he turns out to be part of the conspiracy and working against them. And it's, you just never quite relax into the fact that he's genuinely a good guy.
Well, now that structure is completely cliche, because, and here's spoilers for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but now when a new show launches, you're immediately saying, okay, so who's the guy that's going to be the turncoat traitor eventually that they set up in the first episode? Who's that going to be? And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes ahead and does it. And they have one of the main characters that you grow to trust. Turn out, after the Winter Soldier movie was released, the show that ties in with the whole Marvel universe got kind of flipped around, and you find out who that person is. So you're right, Rich. It all stretches back to the X-Files. Everything's tied in. This is the template for everything to come.
Yeah. The most important show of the last 25 years. I didn't really mean that. I wasn't really saying that without much careful consideration.
He's saying that because of my facial expression, which is like, what did you just say?
I didn't really believe that. Don't worry.
Which of the Star Trek gods do you want to ask for forgiveness?
Exactly. All of them. Don't I have to praise the wormhole prophets now? That sort of thing. And of course, all the X-Files comes from Star Trek. There, I think I'm safe now. I think I'm safe.
Just to kind of fast forward into the synopsis, what ends up happening very, very early, because we've not exactly shot through this very quickly, but what happens in Duaneberry is that Duane takes hostage his counselor, his psychiatric counselor.
Yeah.
And a couple of people, just random bystanders. And then Fox gets sent in to negotiate for a hostage release.
Yeah. So he has to get some really, really quick training. Like, really quick training. But he...
Do you not feel that day one in the FBI is like, here's how to handle a hostage situation? Don't you think that that's something every agent gets?
I don't think it's a day one, but it's definitely first semester.
It's in the course, isn't it? And it's one you've got to pass.
Yeah.
I feel. He might not have had any field experience of a real hostage situation that's not been set up by his examiners, but you'd think that he'd at least be able to use language that was calming and stuff like that and know not to excite or provoke further craziness.
Mulder gets pulled in and they're like, here, we need you to help negotiate this hostage release. And he's like, wait, now do we want the hostages to live, or I'm not clear on this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's not the best person for the job, really.
He's not. I mean, he might be the best person to get information, but not on his own.
There are big plot holes in this episode too, which really upset me. Because I remember this as being like the linchpin of the whole series. This is where everything really gets real, is in Duaneberry. You get the confirmation of the aliens. You get the whole at the end of Ascension thing that we could talk about if we wanted to. But there are big problems with the episode. I mean, starting with CCH Pounder. Are you guys familiar with CCH Pounder, by the way?
No.
Okay, so the black female agent that pulls in Mulder and starts giving him the instructions.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
She's fairly famous in the United States.
Oh, yeah, I recognize her.
She was instantly recognizable, but we've also got a British version of her. So,
do you?
Yeah. Almost a carbon copy. You know, she has that woman in authority, ball breaker kind of approach to everything in life.
Who are you thinking?
Well, that's kind of what CCH Pounder does here. I mean, she played that exact kind of position on Law and Order SVU. She was in The Shield. She played kind of almost a spookily similar character in the Justice League cartoon. She was Amanda Waller, which was like the head of the government conspiracy.
Right.
She was on ER, and she was in Face Off with Nicolas Cage. And Well, look at that. She was in Avatar.
I'm talking about the judge on, not the judge, the barrister on Broadchurch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very similar person. Very similar person.
Kind of same place in the TV and film industry. You know, that role of like older, ball breaking black woman in authority.
Yeah. I guess the strength, I want to believe that the strength of the X-Files is that you're kind of on board with the strength of the narrative so that you can roll with the plot holes when they're introduced. But this one, they were upsettingly large to try to wade through.
Okay. So
CCH Pounder brings in Mulder because he's got all this UFO abduction experience and lore. He's the little green men expert, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him, all right, you're the UFO guy. Make up whatever you need to keep Dwayne Barry on the line. Don't care what you say about UFOs. Then like 20 seconds later, she starts screaming at him for going off script and being like, don't talk about UFOs. Why are you talking about UFOs? That really upset me. It really, really, did they not have someone to say like, okay, you don't have to have perfect continuity between every single episode, but at least try to keep continuity from 5 minute segment to 5 minute segment.
Yeah.
I can't really argue with that. Yeah, that does happen.
It's just about keeping him on the line, isn't it? Isn't it? And then, no, it's not. Direct him in this situation. Yeah, but he's not skilled in going down that route. Stop trying to get him go down that route. He'll find
You're
out what
get
you
everyone
want from
killed.
His route.
You don't think if his the Dwayne Barry case went as far as it did in real life, a lot of jobs would be lost?
He wouldn't ever leave an institution. He would be locked behind so many bars.
So many opportunities to catch this man. That, you know, like, he gets away from the hostage situation. That always ends up with somebody being shot.
Nah,
and he didn't. And then he gets... It gets caught again, and then he gets killed, and then he's dead, and all these other things.
He'd get put in a secure psychiatric unit like Risley or Rampton, and he'd stay there forever.
Yeah, basically.
Behind some very big walls and some very, very assertive psychiatrists, and that's where he'd stay. He wouldn't ever get out to be able to wreak more havoc, ever.
Gets away all the time in this show.
But he does, because that's a teleprogram, and it's not interesting if he just gets locked up in a hospital.
No, that's
given
boring,
the chemical cosh.
Yeah, that's true.
To skip ahead somewhat, they do finally shoot him. He lives, but while he's in the hospital recovering, the fastest recovery from a gunshot wound through the chest that I've ever seen.
Well, it might be alien influence. You never know.
But they do find that he's got stuff in his body that appears to have... I don't know, like barcodes that are too small for man to have made, had to be originating somewhere else.
But, and yet it is read by any scanner known to man.
Yeah, none of that would have worked at all. We have to skip over that. But again, then...
That did also bother me. At the grocery store you're talking about?
Yeah, like as Richard said, you've got to watch this bit, you've got to watch this bit. So I put my eyes firmly on the TV and started checking out and paying in a really weird way. And then... using an alien chip with a barcode scanner to get a code.
Because there's a special code. If you put it into tills, they all explode.
And it comes out
with alphanumeric
digits as well. I mean, that blew my mind. Yeah. It wasn't in any kind of alien script with different language or numbers or anything like that. It was our alphanumerics.
Yeah, it's also, the episode Ascension has made me look a fool on the Moonraker episode of Shaken Not Stirred, because I berated Moonraker for featuring a cable car system that can go fast enough under its own power to destroy itself. Whereas, in fact, clearly that is all how all cable car systems are made, because there's another one in the X-Files.
Mm-mm.
Don't take it over 15. Then why does it go over 15?
Yeah, if it's not safe, why have you made 25.
Why have you made a thing that can destroy itself, you fucking idiots?
To get to Ascension, at the end of the first episode, at the end of Dwayne Barry, somehow he finds out where Scully lives. I wasn't clear on that. I don't know how he even knew who she was.
Fuck
but
knows.
Dwayne Barry finds and attacks and kidnaps Scully, puts her in his trunk, and that entire episode... like right up until the two thirds mark is a chase.
Yeah.
It's just an extended James Bond chase.
Yeah, without much tension to it. I kind of felt like it was more like an intense follow than a chase. You know, they're not, no one's speeding away from somewhere else. It's just a case of working out where he's going. At no point are they in sight of him and have to speed up to get hold of him. Yeah,
they've got
to
figure out where he is.
You know, they know where he's going. They know he's gone up the mountain so Mulder gets on the cable car. They know that he's ended up there.
Cable car, that's a right trope, isn't it? You know, it's been everywhere.
At least he doesn't have to jump from one to the other.
Well, there is
That's always in there.
And but no there one... is a moment where he nearly loses grip of the ladder and everything. You go, Mulder! And I like that the light changes so much. He's been at this place for so long that it's now nearly dark.
Nice Canadian sunset.
It's a beautiful Canadian sunset. Dark now. He's been out there for hours, don't you know?
It is telling that Dwayne Barry was written and directed by Chris Carter, and then Ascension, you throw it over to Paul Brown. I think that there was a little bit of change in quality there. Just a little bit of change.
It was
Paul Brown, known for Camp Rock and Camp Rock 2. High watermarks.
Yeah.
They didn't get anywhere near us then.
Camp Rock?
It's Disney live action stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
Kind of like High School Musical, but hey, let's do it at a camp this time.
All right. That makes sense. Yeah.
We'll have to watch that before we go to Disney.
Not ever. Not ever going to watch that. No. No, that's not the same as watching Beauty and the Beast or The Lion King.
I thought you were going to make me watch every Disney before we go to Disney.
Nobody wants to sit and watch every Disney film, Alison. Just the cartoon ones.
That's cool. I'm reassured now.
Yeah, we're not watching fucking High School Musical.
Wait. What about Pete's Dragon?
I've seen Pete's Dragon. That straddles the line.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Pete's Dragon stuff at Disney World, though. I would keep that on the if we've still got time to watch Disney films, then watch Pete's Dragon, but... You know, it's not Aladdin, is it? You know, I wouldn't want to go to Disney World and not having seen The Little Mermaid or others like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Dragged us way off there.
Okay, sorry.
Hey, did you know that Gillian Anderson was pregnant?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Turns out that's the whole point of this entire arc is that they were trying to get around showing that she was pregnant. So they had to have her dun-dun-dun abducted by aliens.
Wow.
It's what happens to you when you get pregnant on TV.
Then we did see a big pregnant belly, didn't we?
We did. It was a real big pregnant belly. And even when she returned, or was it one of the late... Did she get pregnant again during the show's run?
At some point, wasn't there an arc... Man, my memory is really fuzzy. I have not watched a lot of the season 4 and 5 episodes since the original run. But wasn't there a point where she maybe gave birth to an alien baby?
There was a point, yeah, that because it was like Jesus. But that was later on. Yeah.
And then did they just take it away and she was like, okay, well, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because who wants Jesus for a kid? You know, like, you know.
I don't think I'd like Jesus.
When you imagine how stressful it is when one of your kids throws a tantrum and you're not even stood there thinking, but you're the son of God. So I imagine.
Well, I don't know. I have one of those psychological conditions where I do think my children are the son of God.
That's a different thing. Different thing there.
It's called a God complex, Jason.
But yeah, there was basically a long stint where Scully never either left the office or emerged from behind a filing cabinet with an open drawer. And that was basically just down to the fact that she was so very pregnant and they needed to film her but not show that she was so very pregnant. So she was always sat at the desk, always stood behind something, that sort of thing.
And always draped in a pantsuit that looked like a curtain.
Yeah, that as well. Well, it was the mid-90s. Everything kind of looked
everything
like that.
Everything was like velour leisure suits.
Yeah. What are you after, Doug? And you don't even know, do you? Sorry, Barclay's doing the just... What? What are you doing? Go and sit down. You were fine a minute ago. Anyway, what is there anything else you'd like to say about Dwayne Barry or Ascension at this point?
Well, I mean, it's just interesting how the whole pregnancy thing is what kind of spurred the mythology that later defined the X-Files to be. It was the Wikipedia article on Dwayne Barry, or was it Ascension? I don't remember. Anyway, one of them said that, I mean, the whole mythology sprang from necessity, they had to find ways to cover up the fact that Gillian Anderson was pregnant. And so they invented this alien thing and they're like, oh, it kind of just fits into everything that we were already doing. Let's make this the big bad.
Yeah, it was, they managed to turn a positive out of negative there, I think.
They took lemons and made them into lemonade.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what they did.
They took babies and made them into baby aid.
That's a different thing again.
I always get that one confused.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a fact that Chris Carter got the idea of the implants and the drilling of teeth from his neighbor, who said that that's what had happened to him, that he'd been abducted and that they drilled his teeth, and that his dentist had said that they couldn't have been done by any equipment currently in use. So he put it in the show.
I feel like that's something that whenever it comes up, you're like, I don't feel like they did their research. Like, it probably was in use, right? Right, guys? You maybe just don't know everything about dentistry.
Don't know. We saw it. It was like the bright red laser beam. I've never seen one of those in my dentist office.
Not going to the good dentist.
Maybe. Maybe.
Are you guys willing to talk about X-Files at least another 9 episodes here?
Episodes?
Yeah, absolutely.
At least.
For God's
I really hope that you
sake.
Are. I feel like we're just rushing through these things to talk about them, and there's so much. We've got to get to the whole grand conspiracy, the syndicate. Talk about the cigarette smoking man. We haven't even talked anything yet about Skinner.
I almost feel we should do a spinoff. You know, I'm only half joking when I say this. Like, we should do Remote Patrol, and then we'll also do Remote Patrol : The X-Files. He's not
like
objecting.
That
pardon?
I liked it.
Yeah, I know you do. It's
I
like,
want it.
But why can't we do that? I'd do that. Seriously. I would do that. That sounds good to me. And that way, we could even give Allison the choice of opting out of further X-Files. Because we don't need her hate around.
Allison, do you need to take like 3 months break off just so that this can be the X-Files podcast for a little while?
I don't need to take a break off.
We need to discuss this concept further, I think. But
in some sort of a vote where we boot someone.
I vote we boot Allison
like
and do an X-Files show then.
It's just like The Voice. You see, you vilify it and then you use its model.
We're better than The Voice. We don't have any country music. Ah, oh, dear. I'd get emailed now
if
like they
could
work it.
You're both going to turn your chairs around and like show me the back of your chair.
I'm on cushions.
And it's an alien.
Yeah. Turns out you're actually on a spaceship the whole time. But I think we should at least do one more of these.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm just not saying 9. That's all.
Look, you enjoyed that episode we watched the other day, with the one that was all in black and white.
Yeah, that was good.
That's on the list, that one. I've forgotten the name of it.
And you guys mentioned before we started recording about Clyde Bruckman, which is just a terrific episode.
Clyde.
The one with Raymond's dad.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah,
it
that
is.
That was on.
Love that episode. We could do...
Perfect character episode.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a standalone one as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, what if we did that one and then... Oh, hang on. I need to find out what it's called. What was the one we watched the other day? The one...
I almost feel like we should backtrack to Little Green Men, the first one in season 2, because that's where you find out all about Mulder's sister being abducted.
This is getting complicated, you know.
It really is.
Oh, which was the one we watched? The Post-Martian Prometheus? Yeah, that was the one. Season 5, episode 5. Anyway, this is post-show discussion stuff.
It is.
Let's wrap up this episode, and then we'll briefly discuss the next one, I think. Thank you for listening, everyone. Everybody send big thank you to Jason, who's doing this clearly near to death.
It's so poorly.
It's making my voice sound awesome, maybe.
Sound at least 500% sexier.
See if you can get some trailer voiceover work while you like this.
Strike while the iron's hot.
In a world.
Allison, I'm going to put you in touch with my wife here and let you tell her that I'm 500% sexier. Maybe that would get me somewhere.
I said your voice was.
Yeah, there's probably.
No, you said me.
No, yeah, no, well.
There's probably snot coming out of your face.
Like, yeah,
you
the
know.
Snot and the phlegm and the coughing and the redness around the nose and general mustache area. That depletes it by 600%.
So you're actually.
So you're minus 100.
I'll take what I can get.
Okay.
Well, that just leaves you at zero, though.
It leaves
minus
him.
100%.
It leaves
that's
him
zero.
Half as good as he used to be.
We need to talk about right, your maths, well, Allison.
Really?
I'm off
play
to record
it back.
Atomic Trivia War.
It okay. is.
So,
with a cold.
We'll see everybody next week, right?
Yeah,
we'll be back next week, scheduling allowing. Do you know about next week? We'll figure that's post-show.
Again,
anyway,
post-show.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Ha 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 ha.